Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Oh, there we go. I'm good. Yeah. Oh, you're not turned on.
I'm turned on now.
Oh, yeah, you are.
That means I'm erect and I have a boner.
Yes. So you're
wow, ready to make babies.
You plowed through those every burgers.
Yeah, dude. They're every burgers. You got to fucking take
them out. Have you ever been to Chinatown in downtown Chicago?
Of course.
It's insane. It's like Big Trouble in Little China.
Of course I've been there.
The best
restaurant down there is Seven Treasures.
I went down there with my daughter because we wanted to try the Chicago water taxis, which are really cool if you've never done them.
That's where Danny works.
Have you ever taken the water
taxis? Water taxis? Yes.
They're super cheap, and they'll take you right from the loop to Chinatown for $8. It's all you want to go up and down on the thing. But I went there, and I was just like, I thought maybe there would be like little subtitles for English. No.
No.
It's like, well,
they expect you to speak Chinese.
It was my fault. I thought I was in America.
Nope, you were in actually a small portion of China.
It's not really a small portion of China. It's like a small portion of South Asia because it's just like, well, that's Taiwanese. That's Korean.
Yeah, Seven Treasures as it's Cantonese, but it's Chinese too. They've got their noodles are braised ifu or just braised noodles. They're Hong Kong style.
Yeah, I have no idea what any of that is.
It's fucking good. It's the best fucking restaurant. I hope it's still there. It's been a while since I've been there, but they were the best fucking restaurant. I ate there fucking so many times.
Yeah, I went to.
You forget. I mean, I am from Chicago. I live in the suburbs now.
But
from Chicago.
Yeah, I went down there. It was actually my first time ever going to Chinatown. I've never been to Chinatown because I'm like, what do I care about the Chinese?
Really? And Chinatown's fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just...
And they got a whole bunch of cheap-ass knickknacks for you to blow money on.
Yeah.
And, like, I do mean cheap. They're, like, $3.
I know. Well, I was looking for some, like, Street Fighter or something to give to Pat B, but I didn't see anything. A lot of Dragon Ball stuff, but... Yeah. Like, so if you're really into Dragon Ball...
Yeah.
Like, you wear those anime shirts that have the Goku on the back.
Button-down anime shirts.
Button-down anime shirt.
Button-down anime shirts.
That's what everyone should have in their closet. But the... no, I went there, and I was, like, with my daughter, and so I ended up going to... Everywhere looked either, like, way too fancy or, like really, like, gross.
Mm.
But I ended up finding this little place that had, like, the little...
Slash UPS as well.
The little, the sweet buns that were filled with, like, barbecue pork or whatever.
Right.
Whatever they're called. And I went in there and I said, give me two of those, please. And I got some bubble tea as well, which...
Bubble tea.
It's like the tapioca. It's like, ew...
It should be good.
No, tapioca is awful.
Well, maybe you got a bad one.
It's just slime. That's all it is.
You got a bad one. That shit's supposed to be soaked in honey. Those are supposed to be delicious.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
supposed to be sweet balls, like my sweet balls.
It was like jizz balls. Jizz balls coming up.
Jizz balls going downstairs. Jizz balls going downstairs. Jizz balls going upstairs. Jizz balls going downstairs.
Yay. But anyway, I stopped in a little candy store because my daughter wanted some candies for the train ride home. And I saw that and I was like, oh, we just had a conversation about burgers. I'm going to get Steve some Every Burgers.
And they're delicious. Thank you.
I was afraid because I thought they might be gummy. Mm. So if they were gummy, I was like, oh, they would have liquefied.
They would have been a solid.
Yeah, just like a solid Every Burger. It would have been every burger made into one burger.
It would just be like a tray of gummy slime.
Yeah. So if you ever get a chance, you go downtown Chicago. You go to the Chinatown. It's quite a. I kept on expecting to see the Pork Chop Express turn down an alley.
I would suggest you find Seven Treasures. Order yourself a big plate of braised ifu noodles, extra noodles, barbecue pork, shrimp wonton, Chinese broccoli, extra Chinese broccoli, oyster sauce, extra oyster sauce. Bam. You got yourself an amazing
plate of
noodles.
You also got yourself a horrible, horrible gastrointestinal problem about an hour later.
You never had an issue with Chinese food.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the rest of the world.
Well, it's not. It's because nothing in there is like breaded and fried. That's the stuff that usually makes me like fucking farty or diarrhea-y from Chinese food. But none of the stuff that I just suggested people order is breaded or fried.
Yeah.
So
Let's talk about welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is the defender of the Star League, defeater of the Kodan Armada, Steve.
Was that a Last Starfighter?
It was a Last Starfighter reference.
Nice.
Last Starfighter, great movie. Just
I heard
watched
they're
the
remaking
other day.
It.
I know. Well, it's, of course they remake everything. Hollywood is morally and intellectually bankrupt.
Morally, creatively, actually bankrupt.
Yeah. But Last Starfighter, 1984, great movie. Highly recommended if you've never seen it. I also just recently watched the...
Batteries Not Included?
No, I've been on like a Roger Corman kick lately.
Okay. Did you watch The Sorceress?
No. But I did watch Dark Star, and I watched the 1994 unreleased Fantastic Four movie. Let me tell you. That movie's solid gold. I don't know how that wasn't released.
It's got to be better than the new one.
Oh, my God. It's, like, it's so bad, it comes around to being good. Like, the thing constantly going, it's clobbering time, and then not clobbering anything.
That's awesome. You know, the thing
and
about...
the effects look pretty decent for, like, 94.
You know what? I haven't seen it.
I'll take that back. When you put it in perspective for the movie looks like it should be, like, from 1987, 86. Okay. I mean, for 94, it's pretty piss poor, but looking back on it now, like 20 years later, you're like, oh, whatever.
I mean, the original Captain America movie is really fucking bad, and they released that.
That was 76, though. That was a long-ass time ago.
So, the Fantastic Four movie, you look at the production stills, though, at least it looks like they tried. Like, they're in the right costumes, and, like, he probably looks really bad when he's moving, but, like in still, like, the Ben Grimm doesn't look too bad.
No. I mean, it's... The problem is they got someone who didn't care about the property, and that's when you're doing.
You mean Roger Corman cares deeply about everything he's ever done.
Roger Corman does. Roger Corman at least got the tone right. He got He got Dr. Doom correct as well, except for maybe the felt cape, but everything else was fine. It's like his cape. He like does like a swish. Like he turns around and it makes like a.
They don't have silk in Latveria.
Yeah. In Latveria, no silk. All cape made of potatoes.
Latveria, felt only.
Felt
all
only.
All clothes, felt.
Richards!
People are watching. Listen to the Latverian public walk through streets. So much static electricity.
We have
young children die from shock.
We have corduroy and we have potato sacks. But we need potato sacks to put potatoes in.
You wear the corduroy.
You wear the corduroy.
But Mama, I do not want to wear the corduroy. I want to go to America and wear the Yankee blue jean.
Yankee blue jeans. One of my favorite in jokes of all time about Golden Demons is just like all of the Eastern Europeans who'd come over just to win the Golden Demon
Factory.
Yeah, no. What they would do is they would come over and enter the Golden Demons, and while they're entering Golden Demons for glorious Russia, their respective others would be going around stealing all the toilet paper in the facilities to take back to Mother Russia, where you don't have toilet paper. They only have...
the shells.
They only have Hand of Stalin.
They have the shells. They have the three shells. He doesn't know how to use the shells.
The NKVD know how to wipe ass. I fucking love that movie. Hunt for October.
Oh, okay. I was just singing the Russian
I'm just
national
always
anthem.
Think of like when Seaman Jonesy's like,
Seaman.
He's like, I hear something, Captain. I believe I hear singing.
I've never seen Hunt for Red October.
You've never seen Hunt for Red October? No. One of my all-time favorite movies. It's probably in the top 10.
All right.
So let's talk some gaming bullshit before we get into some other stuff.
Fisting butts.
I guess a sort of news. Oh, you know what? Let's talk a little Shitmar first. There's a weird thing going on right now online, and it's this. A lot of a lot of websites are trying to justify Age of Shitmar. Like they're saying, like it's selling well, it's doing great in locations, and then they're not saying any locations that it's going to. But it's really funny. Like you go to like Beasts of War, but of course they just suck GW cock. But
to be fair, let's give Beasts of War some credit. They suck everyone's cock.
Yeah.
Like Beasts of War likes everything.
Yeah, it's the difference. So. That's us. We like hate fuck companies.
Yeah.
We're just like fuck you. We hate your company. Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me.
Sucks.
Shit sucks. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if the Age of Sigmar models are selling well. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't even argue that. That's probably true in some places. Like, I think they're awesome. I'm probably going to end up buying box sets. Like, I'm probably going to split box sets, and I'm going to use the fucking Chaos Men for a Kings of War army.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are saying it's selling well, and then there's you go to the comments section of Bella Lost Souls.
People are like, where?
Where? Get a name one place where it's selling well. Here's my chime in on this. This is the Game Classy, one half of Game Classy line. Steve probably would agree with this. Age of Sigmar is probably selling well in stores where people know how to sell fucking minigames.
Yeah.
I could say, for example, you go to a Games Workshop store in Chicagoland. I'm not going to say which one, but most people know which one I'm talking about. The guy who works there will sell you that, and he will sell you on the game because he's enthusiastic. He'll run you through a game. He'll make it fun. He'll let you win, and then he'll probably take you over and give you a painting demo or whatever else have you. Like, he will make you want to play that game. That's right. How they sell the game. I recently just saw...
Or they know that you're a hobbyist, and they'll be like, look at the models. And you'll be like, yeah, all right.
Well, it's not just that, because, I mean, like, there's a... I'm talking, like, people who are actually, you know, not just the people who are like, I'm using this for my Blood Angels. But, like, people who are actually getting into Age of Sigmar. I'm sure there are people. People get into any game, you know? Like, people got into Mars Attacks for some odd reason. They tried to make that a thing. I don't know why, but they tried.
Apparently, a lot of people bought Mars Attacks.
They did.
Because they didn't just make the base game. They started, like, pushing out more and more stuff. They did make the robot, and that robot is hella cool.
You love the Mars Attacks.
I love that robot. I liked the Mars Attacks trading cards. Beyond that, I'm out.
I never liked Mars Attacks. I thought it was stupid.
Did you get the trading cards?
No, I never got the trading cards.
The trading cards were the jam.
Yeah, well, no.
That's what made it awesome. And that's why the Tim Burton movie, I was so mad about it, because the cards, yes, the Martians looked fucking goofy, but they also look kind of creepy, because they're like skull faces with giant brains. But there's nothing tongue-in-cheek about that card set. Like, yeah, there's nothing funny about it. It's like, it's fucking gross. Like, it's Martians doing horrible shit, people dying, and at the end, humanity doesn't use some fucking stupid-ass music to defeat the Martians. The United States of America gets in their goddamn space jet planes, and they fly to fucking Mars, and they goddamn nuke it.
Yeah.
They nuke Mars.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what we should do to every European country out there who doesn't back America.
You can't. They nuked the entire planet of Mars.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if you're advocating nuking the entire planet of Earth
to win.
If
that's what it takes. My mic keeps falling down.
If that's what it takes.
To stop those goddamn commies in Europe. All those Europeans in Europe and Asia and Africa. Who want to stop America. I've actually played a game of Age of Sigmar. It's actually a fun game. I'm not going to lie. The rule sets are fun. There's absolutely zero balance in the game. Makes zero sense.
The issue I have, because, like, you know, people are talking like, oh, you can just play with your friend and, like, eyeball it. And so here's my, like, an honest, like, if I'm trying to give Age of Sigmar a fair shot, because I'm probably going to do War of the Ring style trays for my, my Chaos Dudes for Kings of War.
Yeah.
So then I'll also have an Age of Sigmar army just in case.
Just in case you want to sell it later.
You never know. I'd play with, like, if you wanted to play, or, like, I mean,
it's,
you know,
it's,
one of
the, it's not a bad game.
One of the people who I enjoy spending time with wanted to play, I would be like, sure, we can play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go to a tournament because that's impossible.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to give it an honest try, like, if I'm trying to really, like, give Age of Sigmar a solid try, my only recourse is to play nothing but the starter.
Yeah, no, that's, you are absolutely correct.
I can add more to the starter with more starter content, because you can, if the starter is balanced entirely, you can roughly gauge, like,
it's not, but you can balance it.
It's like the Chaos side has the sudden death. Yeah. The Sigmarines have the sudden death.
Yeah.
But I can look and go, like, okay, so you have this many Sigmarines to this many Chaos Men. If I add these many Chaos Men, you could probably add this many Sigmarines, give or take guessing. But I don't like that.
No, you know, I don't like that at all.
I don't even, you know, I'm not expecting the game to be balanced. It's a Games Workshop game. It's not going to be balanced. It's a non-Middle Earth Games Workshop game. It's not going to be balanced. in any way, shape, or form.
I still say Lord of the Rings isn't balanced, but that's besides the point.
It's Lord of the Rings is yes and no. Like they did a lot to like tweak the elves. The elves were super OP for a very long time, but they're
and the Khazad Guard. Those things are brutal.
Well, they were super hard to kill, but they couldn't do any. Yeah. Like they'd lose scenarios.
Yeah.
But they nerfed them pretty hard. They like kind of like even they smoothed out the stat lines in.
Well, that's edition. What they did because the last book, whatever it was, the One Ring book or whatever, the one book. They released that right before The Hobbit, and it was like, okay, we're never touching Lord of the Rings again, so everything's done.
Yeah, they smoothed it out, so like it's a little better. It's still, I mean, it's not. I'm not saying it's perfectly balanced, but there's no game out there that's perfectly balanced. No miniatures game, but it's definitely the most balanced.
What about chess?
It's not a miniatures game.
Yes, it is. I painted him up.
And also, the first player has a distinct advantage. It's overpowered to go first.
What about the? What about the my Civil War chess set? I got all those little minis. I got my
that's fine.
My Ulysses S. Grant.
That's fine. Chess is also not balanced. The first player has a huge advantage.
Ulysses S. Grant as my queen with my Abe Lincoln as my king.
Did you give him a little rouge?
I give him a little rouge
and a fucking bottle of whiskey.
And a bottle of whiskey.
So with that, if I'm like, okay, I really want to try. I have no way to do that. Like I couldn't be like, hey. You had a Warhammer Fantasy army. I bought these Age of Shimmar dudes. I want to play you. And I'll be like, I'll be bringing the Chaos guys. And like, you could be like, I guess I'll just bring random shit. Like, yeah. I don't know what to do. Like, you can't even really guess because like the special rules are the thing. Like, even if you tried to do it like by wounds or whatever, which
no, it
obviously wounds. Doesn't work. A skeleton with one wound does not equal a Sigmarine with one wound.
I've seen enough games of it played right now that I will tell you the wounds issue. No, just don't even consider that.
And the other thing too is like let's say it was balanced by wounds. What's going to break that is the special rules. Like I was looking at some of the special rules. There's dudes who have like pages of like special rules. I mean not really, but you know they have a bunch of fucking special rules, and that's going to push them over the top even if they're like a roughly equal level of wounds. I don't know how to fucking play it. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Okay, here's the game class thing. It's a fun game straight out of the box if you play Sigmarines versus Chaos. That's it. Do not attempt to add anything. Do not attempt to take anything away. You have to play with exactly what's in the box and only with what's in the box.
Right.
It's the only way to play that fucking game. Other than that, if you do that, just play with the box. It's actually a pretty fun game. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I believe it does
end up with a big smush in the middle.
Yeah, the mush in the middle.
And it's...
I've heard there's a lot of that. And the random turn decides almost all the games.
Yeah. Yeah. So aside from that, but I just wanted to say, like, do not trust Bell of Laws. Do not... Unless it's game classy, don't trust
them. Don't trust them.
Because
we'll tell it to you straight.
We'll tell it to you straight. We hate fuck companies. We tell you. Even the companies that we love, we're still going to be like, oh, yeah, this model's fucking great. But you know what? Company's not that great.
Yeah, or be like, it's pretty expensive.
It's kind of expensive.
It's nice, but it's pretty fucking expensive. Yeah. I would say if you are not currently in a GW game, for whatever random reason, if you're not currently playing a GW game and you're looking to get into a GW game, if you're not willing to get into one of their dead games, which I would recommend because their dead games are better than the games they still produce, just play 40K.
Just
play 40K. Don't even think about it. Just pick a fucking Space Marine army.
I'm so excited for 30K, though.
Play 40K. 30K is going
to
be cool.
If 30K is what I'm expecting it to be, Now they pimp me for Sigmar, and I was like, ooh, this could be good. And then they were like, hey, guys.
Do you think 30K is going to be the Sigmar of
That's what I'm 40K? Thinking. I'm thinking it's going to be the Sigmar.
Well, in theory, here's the deal with that. Like, I mean, I'm wondering if they're gonna do this. And they may or may not, but this is my prediction for 30K. If they're going to go the Age of Sigmar route, but try and get people to actually really play the game like 40K. Everything is super easy to balance because it's all Space Marines.
Yeah.
So if I bring 20 Space Marines and you bring 20 Space Marines...
It should be able to balance out.
If I bring 5 Terminators, you bring 5 Terminators, you know, like, that's the balance.
Yeah.
Because the stuff is so not different.
It shouldn't be.
The different stuff you're going to have is, like, each chapter will have its, like, chapter master or, like, lieutenant guy.
Yeah, they'll have, like...
And they'll have their own very specific special rule. And then they'll have, like, an elite. Like, the... World Eaters, well, they'll have the fucking, like, crazed dudes with
berserkers,
the axes, right? And then the Death Guard will have, like, the Terminators. Like, they're special, like, super tough Terminators, which would be awesome because the way to make a game the most balanced is to give armies, like Kings of War, give armies almost the exact same baseline rules, give them one special rule that is a rule that is included to the rest of the game, which is, that's my favorite part about Kings of War. Like, in, you know, when you see like the demon army in Kings of War, it's like, this army has the rule brutal. Everything in your army has that rule. But when you're playing, when I play you, I'm just like, okay, I've got this rule and that does this. You're not going to be like, what the fuck is that? Because your army probably has one unit that has the rule brutal. Yeah. So you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Your whole army gets that? That's cool. You know, and I like that style of design.
Yeah, I mean, and that's true too. But you know what I was actually thinking about? What I was lying in bed just staring at my ceiling, thinking about minigames like I do.
And then you slide your hand down.
Yes.
Every time I walk away, walking in Memphis.
I was thinking, you know what, the fact of Age of Shitmar not
Dude,
having
AIDS of Shitmar.
No, I'm not gonna.
Whoa,
gonna,
that's
AIDS
what you said.
Funny.
That's what you said.
Well, yeah, that was a slip of the tongue, but it was not a. It was a Freudian slip. Yeah, but looking at Age of Sigmar, the way that it doesn't have points, you know, what it reminds me a lot of fucking Napoleonics. I think that's why it bugs me, because Napoleonics don't have points, because Napoleonics, you're not expected to have a balanced army. You're expected to have exactly what Napoleon had on the battlefield, and if you don't have that, it's not worth it.
And just wait, I think that's what they're gonna do with that quest for the Galmaraz book, because it's super fucking crazy expensive. Yeah. $75. I was like, fuck that. Oh, and the rules aren't exactly all free. I downloaded the Age of Shimmar app.
Yeah,
and most of it's free, but there's
anything new is probably not free.
Well, there's like battle companies, I guess.
Yeah.
You have to buy the $50 Age of Sigmar digital book to get that.
Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. So I was just like, all right, well, whatever. I'm like, obviously, I don't need that.
Steve.
Well, this is on the app, so I can't really pirate
Steve.
It.
Steve. Do what you want, because a pirate is free.
You are a pirate. Arr, har, fiddledy-dee. Being a pirate is all right with me. Do what you want, because a pirate is free. You are a pirate. You are a pirate. We don't have the little kids to do the second chorus.
But
the Galmaraz book, I'm willing to bet, has scenarios. But instead of like pitched battle scenarios, they're... Use 12 Sigmarines, use 10 Pestilence Plague Monks, use this. Because if you do it scenario-based like that, they don't have to be balanced.
No.
You just have to go, you eyeball and go, like, this looks good, it'll be more challenging for the... That's like Lord of the Rings. Like, the best way to play Lord of the Rings outside of War of the Ring is the scenarios. Yeah. And some of those scenarios are slanted heavily towards the side that won in the quote-unquote historical aspect. So it's cool when you're just like... Dude, the fucking Ringwraith just straight up murdered Aragorn on Weathertop. Like, holy shit!
I think the one thing that is really, really, really harming Age of Sigmar, of all things,
that thing's head on the fucking Blood Colossus. The head is the worst. That model's cool, but why?
I don't even like that model.
Why does it have a tiny skull head? It's the head. The head's really bad.
Yeah.
It ruins the model.
The what's really killing it is GW's silence on upcoming models. Because
or, you know, any sort of rules or balance
well,
system.
Well, no. I'm saying what's really killing it is the fact that they're not like saying like, hey, fuckers, in a month, this is what we're coming out
with.
Oh,
do you mean anything other than Sigmarines and Chaosmen?
Yeah, well, not even that, but saying like, dude, in a month, these are the Sigmarines that are coming out, or these are the Chaosmen that are coming out.
They showed those. There's the fucking Sigmarines with the bolters.
Yeah, they're like, but that's like in a week.
Oh, okay.
That's not like in a couple months. Like saying like, dude, here's the fucking Orugers that are coming out, you know, or the fucking Orukus. You know, this box set's coming out, like, fucking get hyped.
They're never like that.
I know, but, I mean, they haven't been for a long time. But I'm saying that's what would get people excited is, like, pump out a lot of this stuff quickly, get people into it.
Or how about you get people a fucking rule set?
Well, aside from that. All right, so let's go into some other stuff. We got some Kickstarter news. Did you hear what's going on in Indiegogo right now?
With Indiegogo specifically? No.
No.
I heard Torn Armor is finally done.
Oh, that's cool.
<Isn't>
that cool? No, that was me kind of like, oh, that's cool.
They threw in the towel. We were so positive about Torn Armor.
We were. It was a good looking game.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you.
Defiance.
In Indiegogo, there's a group of British architects who are trying to fundraise like $2 billion to build Minas Tirith.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. That I heard about. I thought you were talking about some sort of Indiegogo scandal.
Why would anybody want to build Minas Tirith? Of all the cool-ass things you could build from Tolkien, Minas Tirith is the least coolest one.
I mean, it's because it's the greatest and biggest human city. Like, that's why.
I want the fucking tower. I want fucking
Orthanc.
I want Barad-dûr.
Barad-dûr, the towers and the teeth?
Yeah, I just... What's...
Well, because then you'd have to build it on Mordor.
I mean, well, it's UK, so I'm assuming it's all like Mordor.
Everyone in America needs bread pants.
Show's still not funny.
It's so good. You don't like Canada, Illinois?
No, it's dumb.
Oh, you're so weird.
No, the majority of America. No, it's like, just be, I want a fucking big fucking Eye of Sauron. That's what I want them to fucking build. With a big holographic Eye of Sauron looking down.
I want an actual flaming eye.
A flaming, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to see, but it needs to be real fire.
Yeah, exactly. Like, build that. That would be fucking badass. You know, build some Minas Morgul or something, like, terrifying. Not, Minas Tirith, it's a bunch of wolves that go around. It's
I mean, they're not trying to make Helm's Deep.
Oh, build fucking Helm's
Hornburg.
Deep. Yes, build fucking Helm's Deep.
That's cool.
Just, like, you have the one guy sitting there and, like the bobbies are like, what's all they said? He's like, it's my castle. Yeah, oh, you get down for there.
Helm's Deep is a...
No.
I think the difference between Helm's Deep and Minas Tirith is that if you raised enough money for Helm's Deep, first of all, it wouldn't be anywhere near that expensive.
Just a bunch of stone.
But I think you could actually feasibly construct the entirety of Minas Tirith in your own lifetime and hang out there and be like, cool.
I could hang out. I would rather hang out at Helm's Deep.
I meant Helm's Deep. Yeah. I said Minas Tirith. Yeah. That was a slip. I meant you could probably... You'll never finish Minas Tirith in your lifetime.
No.
No fucking way.
No.
No fucking way. You'll start building it. Even if they got all the money they wanted, it'll take 60-plus years to get that thing built.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, it's never going to happen. But I'm just saying, like, if they manage to... Like, if the skies parted and some billionaire is just like, you know what? I do want to see Minas Tirith. And he's just like, donate $2 billion.
Well, yeah. Speaking of which, have you seen Jodorowsky's Dune?
Is that the one where everyone's eyes are glowing blue?
Well,
like
no. That's the Frank. That's the David Lynch version. No,
the one I've seen is the one with Sting. David.
Yeah,
Lynch.
Yeah, that's the David Lynch version. No, Jodorowsky's Dune is a documentary they did about this guy Alejandro Jodorowsky who tried to make Dune in the 70s.
Oh,
it's fantastic. It's a documentary. I think it's on Netflix right now. I would take a look at it. But his amount of passion for the project makes me want to see his version. Like, he wanted to get Salvador Dali to play the Mad Emperor of the Galaxy, and he was going to...
I mean, Salvador Dali's cool.
He was going to get, like, I think it was, like, David Carradine was going to play Duke Leto, and it was just, like, he wanted to get Mick Jagger was going to play Fayed Rautha. Orson Welles was going to play Baron Harkonnen. It was just like, I'm watching this, I'm going like, I want this. I want nothing more than to see this movie. The total budget, because it was like 74, was $15 million. And they had two-thirds of it. And they went to Hollywood to look for the last third. And Hollywood was like, no, we don't want to fund this. And I'm like, oh my God, if I had the money and to travel back, I would go, here's $5 million, make this fucking movie. here's $10 million, do whatever you want with it. Because he had, like, all of his, all the people working on it were, like, Mobius and Giger were doing all the art design on it. And
that sounds like that movie would have been fucking awesome.
It looked like it would have been fucking awesome. The ending was nothing like what Dune is. And he actually says that in, Jodorowsky, like, the interview him, he's like, this is not what Frank Herbert envisioned, but it is like I am raping Frank Herbert, but we are all enjoying it. it's like this dude's weird. He's the guy who did like El Topo. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
No.
That's a weird movie. Or
what about El Pulpo?
No. All right. So some more Kickstarter stuff. The Conan one got pulled. You saw that, right?
It didn't get pulled.
It got bought out.
It got insorbed.
Yeah.
By Reaper.
So do you think Reaper is going to do a Kickstarter for it under the Bones line?
I have no idea what they're doing.
So we talked about this last week.
I would imagine if they were going to do that, they wouldn't have pulled the Kickstarter. Because if they wanted to just take over the distribution, that's something they could have handled behind the scenes. And it wouldn't have mattered. Just like how, obviously, they did it because the game failed, but or because the dude spent all the fucking money. But the Doom that came to Atlantic City,
yeah,
Cryptozoic is producing that game and they're shipping it out to backers.
Yeah,
I would imagine that would have been the case with Conan.
No, because here's what I'm saying is because I think they might have had to have pulled it just because there might be some, like, way that they're changing it around or, like, the way that they want to change the distribution of it. Because they might not have saw that the way that they put it out there was economically feasible.
They're probably going to make it cheaper.
They're probably going to make it incredibly cheaper. They're going to do it in the bones plastic resin.
Yeah. It's not even plasteric. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's too bendy.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I like bones. I think the concept of bones is solid, but the outside of just the smaller minis, yeah. I think it's not... I think it's cool because you can make giant models on the cheap,
yeah.
But I don't like the... They're not stiff.
Yeah.
They're really bendy. So.
Yeah, they are. You got to put them in, like, the freezer before you play with them.
Yeah, it's like, eh.
Yeah. They're not designed for good painting. They're designed for meat crab painting.
Yeah, you have to prime them if you want
to. No, it's not even that you have to prime them. It's just that you can't put a lot of detail onto them and make it stay on.
I'd be willing to bet you could.
Well,
you were really, really, really good.
I mean, if you're really, really... I've seen some really nice paint jobs on that, but the thing is that you can't play with it once it's painted. Mm. The thing bends slightly, the paint's going to crack and fall right off.
Yep.
There's no point to it.
And they're very bendy models.
They're very bendy models. So that's why I think that they might relaunch that one. And that would be cool. That would be badass.
Yeah.
I would love some
and that was my interpretation on the first wave of bones. I don't know if they've improved. They might have.
Mm.
But yeah, for my money, I think Bones is very solid to use as, like, minis you can throw in a fucking box.
Yeah.
And then be like, let's play D&D. And you're like, cool. Just grab your box and just fucking shift through it and just pull out.
It's like when you roll out your Pathfinder map and then you're like...
You start slapping Knolls down on the table.
Yeah. Or you pull out your old map of Castle Ravenloft and you're like, you enter the castle and there's rats. Yeah, that's what I would say there. Let's see what else we got here.
Die, monster. You don't belong in this world.
What is a man?
A miserable little pile of secrets.
We got that Scander put up that 28mm Wasteland Survivors model. So those actually look pretty good.
Yeah, I like there's Master Blaster. I didn't see Lord Humongous.
But. I did not either. I was just talking about this with some guys, and because one of the guys in my gaming group is like, let's fucking do like a Mad Max game. I'm like, what rule set will we use? Well, it doesn't fucking matter. I go, yes, it does fucking matter. What rule set are we going to use? He's like,
let's use Age of Sigmar.
And after I broke him down, eventually it just got to the fact where he goes, I just want to make modern terrain is what I want to do. I go, well, then just fucking make modern terrain. Don't make me have to play a shitty ass game just if you want to play modern.
You can play Car Wars.
Yeah. I feel like the end of Star Trek Season 1 where that guy's head splits open to the alien.
And the worm comes out?
Conspiracy.
Those fucking worms.
Yeah. Actually, it was the second to last episode. The last episode is the one where they unfreeze the people that were frozen in outer space.
And there's that big shot, like, stockbroker guy. Yeah. He's like, I gotta make some money!
It's like Wall Street Journal, bonds, stocks, other money things.
It's like, we have technology that can produce literally anything. I gotta make some quick cash! Well, but you produce me some dollars!
Yeah. And there was a...
That guy's the best.
LQ Sonny Clemens, the guy who's like, I had liver problems. Get me some whiskey. We can fix your liver problems. Good. Get me more whiskey.
Get me more whiskey.
Yeah.
Synthahol's not supposed to make you hammered like this.
Synthahol. I'd be so pissed in the future if that's what I had with Synthahol.
Well, you know, there's a thing about Synthahol. Apparently, if you drink enough of it, Synthahol does make you trashed.
Well, yeah. But the whole point is that Synthahol doesn't give you any of the negative side effects of alcohol,
right.
Which is...
The hangover.
But that's, I feel like that's part of drinking. Like, I don't look forward to the hangover, but I look at it as like, this is my punishment for what I did last night. I'm okay with this.
So you're saying the body guilt free alcohol is not for you?
No.
I think it'd be pretty good. It'd be fucking me and Neelix singing fucking Rock the Casbah.
Doing Neelix. Ugh.
I love Neelix. I don't know. I think he's great.
Yeah. Also, another thing from a Kickstarter that just popped up. It's a lobotomy board game. Have you seen this? It's basically a ripoff of
Arkham Horror.
What?
Arkham Horror?
No. It's a ripoff of.
I tried to look at it yesterday when it was posted on the wall, but my phone wouldn't load it for some reason. So
it's like a Zombicide ripoff.
Oh, okay.
And who's doing it? It's Titanforge is doing it.
Well, I mean, Zombicide has ripped itself off four times, so someone else might get in the party.
Yeah,
are they fighting zombers?
No, it's basically you have a bunch of guys trying to get out of an insane asylum.
Okay.
And it's a pretty neat-looking game, and they're doing some really nice sculpts. The only thing is like, Titanforge guys, we love you. This is like when we talk about the hate-fucking. It's like, I love Titanforge. Titanforge does amazing stuff, and all their...
They've got totally bitchin' Age of Sigmar armies.
Yeah. And they have, like, all these, like, all the sculpts are going to be good. All of the casting is going to be really good. But I'm like, you guys are going to get sued into oblivion.
Do they actually have something that's copying that's over
no,
IP?
But it does the, like, thing where it's, like, they have, like, Nick... Jackson, and it's like Jack Nicholson from The Shining. Like it's like,
okay. Well, then you get away from that.
I mean, it's some pretty rough IP.
Sure, not gonna get sued.
They have Arnie Connors, which is totally like Arnold Schwarzenegger from Ellen Ridley.
Nice.
But some of the sculpting, if you actually look at it, like
that'll be fine.
Like the stuff that you're fighting against, like there's nurses, like the Nurse Ratchet looking stuff, body snatchers. The chief hospital administrator is a fucking awesome looking figure. I gotta show this to you.
Dude, that's fucking badass.
I know, like, that's
insane. That model is just fucking sick.
It's crazy cool looking.
Yeah, this game looks awesome.
It looks a little bit like a bit Silent Hill-y. It looks like Zombicide. I would take a look at it. It's not that expensive either.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of a menagerie of horror, because I see there's definitely some
there's evil clowns.
Yeah, there's like zumber looking guys. There's the Antichrist.
Zombies is what they call.
You see that there's the Antichrist?
Yeah, the Antichrist is pretty cool.
It's fucking Damien, and he has the fucking Samael behind him doing the two finger thing.
That's pretty cool looking.
What's with that fucking two finger thing?
It's from the Church of Satan.
No, but Jeebus does it.
I'm just saying, it's from the... I just... What's his face? The guy who wrote the book. Anton LaVey.
Okay, but Jesus does it.
I don't fucking know.
You're supposed to know.
You're
supposed to be a good Catholic boy and tell me what's going on.
I only do the Spock thing. That's Jewish.
And there's the damned girls. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I would actually take a look at it, because if you're it might like, be a better version of Zombicide.
There's a Frankenstein.
Might be, I don't know.
There's cheerleader vampires. There's a
you're gonna get sued though, Titanforge. Yeah. Nah. There's a Blade figure. There's a Dave. His name is Dave Walker.
Sick. Dave Walker. Dude, they're not. See, that's the thing, because they did that with the names. There's no way they can get sued, because it falls under parody.
It could be.
No, it straight up falls under parody.
But what about likeness rights? Like, if they have someone who looks just like Wesley Snipes.
Likeness rights can be skirted if the name is a parody in nature.
Okay.
So if I made a dude...
I'll look at you, Mr. Lawyer Face.
If I made a dude... Well, I know a bit about, this is the only real, like, law thing that I actually know about is, like, copyright and IP law and stuff. And, like, I'm not an expert, because it's still a mountain of... information you need to know, but I know like the basics, and like you can get away with a fuck ton under parody. So I couldn't release a miniature that called, like, if I released a miniature called Kevin Smith and it looked like Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith could sue me, because that's his likeness and it's clearly Kevin Smith.
This is the other one I really liked on that Kickstarter. Their Cthulhu looks really cool.
They got a buff ass armor plated Cthulhu who's choking out a fucking dude in a fucking hospital gown. He looks sweet.
I mean, for $20, and if Titanforge is doing it, it's gonna be good.
So yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
Titanforge makes great models. So if I made the guy who made the shitty movie about the walrus, and I did a Kevin Smith figure, that would be parody.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, it's parody. Protected under the, you know, free speech.
Have you watched it yet? Have you watched Tusk?
No, I'm never gonna watch it.
Watch it. It's actually pretty fun. I will support that movie, because I think it's actually kind of interesting.
I think it's Kevin Smith fapping on camera.
Well, I would watch that too. But if you saw any director and they said like their next movie is them masturbating on film, you would watch it. Any director.
Only if the sound...
Except Uwe Boll.
No, he would try and put it on Kickstarter, it would fail, and then he'd yell at everyone who donated to his Kickstarter. He'd be like, fuck you donated to my Kickstarter, you're a fucking asshole.
You don't want to see me masturbate.
Uwe Boll, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. His movies are all so bad.
So, careful, he might hear this and challenge us to boxing.
I would box Uwe Boll just to be like, I boxed Uwe Boll.
You'll kick your ass.
I would be okay with that, because it would be like... It's a story.
It is
like,
a story.
Hey, Steve, remember that time I got my ass kicked by Uwe Boll?
Only if the movie was completely silent, except for an audio loop soundtrack of Girls on Film.
Girls on Film.
Yep. Girls on Film. And, like, they have to be looking straight into the camera. Girls on Film. I could make really good art house movies, I think.
Yeah, you probably could.
I think I could really clean up that scene.
You kind of are that like art house director.
I could wear the beret, get a really long and what I'll do is I'll get one of those really long cigarette holsters, and I won't smoke because I quit smoking. So
you put an e-cigarette at the end.
I smoke nothing.
No, but I'm just saying, it'd be funny to have an e-cigarette at the end of like one of those big cigarette holders.
I was just gonna do an empty one and just walk around with it.
Yeah. I think your knowledge of art house film is quite limited to the fact that you're dressing like Cecil B. DeMille.
I don't care. But that's the thing. I could be like, because they will know that I'm in the art house scene, everyone would know I'm doing it ironically. So it would increase my cool points.
That's true. It's like, I always think of that, the internet picture. It's like a SpongeBob picture. And it says, like, it's got SpongeBob at like a lemonade stand. And it says shit posting. And there's like a small crowd. And then it's like, the next scene is like a one that says ironic shit posting. And it's like 1,000 people.
Yes.
All right. So let's get into
Girls on Film.
Because I really don't feel like talking about anything else. I opened up the Facebook page to questions. Questions from our fans. And we got a couple of them, so
free content. We don't have to work.
Exactly. That should be the theme song for it, Steve.
All right. I just did it.
Free content, so we don't have to work.
Yep.
First thing comes from Chris Neumeier. Not so much questions, but random things I've seen in the last bit. Dust Kickstarter is going to ship some items next week, but has stated that people most likely will never receive their stretch goals or freebies. Well, that's your own fucking fault.
Hey, you know what? In all honesty, be excited that you're getting stuff.
Yeah, just be excited that you're getting some stuff.
It looked like that was not going to end with any product to anyone's hands. Yeah. So
be happy with your 1/35th scale miniatures.
Yeah. You
fucking losers. No, I like Dust. I think Damn. Dust is actually a pretty good game.
Bringing up some tense outrage about that Dust.
I know.
You got mad because you spent all that time painting it.
No, I got a nice small. I painted up the starter set, and I don't regret painting up the starter set. I think the starter set looks really good.
Did you paint up the monkeys?
No, monkeys weren't in the starter set.
I know they weren't.
No, I did not think that.
Okay. Yeah, I played the board game version with another Joe. We were not fans.
It's all right.
Just like the flamethrower unit was just pretty fucking ridiculous. Like every game was won by the dude who had the ally side. Just like, yep, flamethrower unit won again.
Yeah, it was a little under
Imba. It was imbalanced.
Yeah, it was fine. I had no problems with it.
We did take the two special units out and had a better time.
Yeah,
like no flamethrower unit and no lightning gun unit.
No lasers.
Yeah,
lasers. Okay. Kings of War is shipping their second edition Kickstarter on time. Did you guys pledge for it? What did you think of the second edition? Did you pledge?
I did not pledge for it. Because I am starting to carry Kings of War stuff now.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting it from work.
Yeah.
And Kings of War has pretty much always shipped on time. What they did do once, though, for their first Kickstarter, it was really big. They shipped it in multiple shipments.
Yeah.
But they did get you the first package on time. So they gave you something when they were supposed to, and they're like, it's not everything. Please wait for the rest of it, which I liked. I was like, all right, I see what you're doing there, and I'll take that. It's better than having to wait the whole time.
Yeah. It's, most of the second edition rules are already online anyway.
Yeah, well, second edition rules are on for free. The only thing that's not on, the entirety of the rule set is online for free.
Yeah.
The army lists are temporary.
Yeah.
Are not full. And apparently, the reason that they don't have full army lists on there is because retailers, like, contacted Mantic and they were like, don't put the army lists out. Like, please, let us sell these books. Which, yeah. I don't know. Whatever whether or not that story is true, it doesn't really matter. The full rules of the game are out. Army lists are not complete, but they're available to try the game.
Yeah, I like the rules. I think that they're a good. They're what Age of Shitmar should have been.
Yeah.
The new army makeup rules I think are interesting.
Second edition is a improvement over first in every way. They really worked with people who were taught, like, who pointed out, like, hey, this shit's broke. Fix it. Everything that was broke got fixed, or they at least attempted to fix. War Machines, I think, are still they're not as swingy as they used to be. Like, you used to have war machines, like, you'd just get some hot dice rolls and you'd wipe a unit out, and it's just like, well, I guess that happened.
Yeah.
That can't really happen anymore because they reduced how many hits they can do. They added counter charge. So one of the things that sucked about the other edition, and then why cavalry was so fucking OP, is you would get to the flank and you would charge something, and then they would get shifted away. But then the unit that was charged, their only choice is to just turn and look at the cav and then get charged again by the cav and get shit on. Because there's no attacks back in Kings of War.
Yeah.
And this is what Rob Hawkins brought up. He's like, you know, not attacking back is kind of bullshit. And I agree. And that's one of the things they changed, because what they have now is they have a rule called counter charge.
Oh.
And what counter charge is if you were charged in the last turn, you can charge without turning your facing. And you just go into combat.
Oh, interesting.
So you actually do get a chance to crack back if your unit survives with the counter charge rule, which is really important, because one of the best things in the game was flying a unit over and then rear charging, and if you didn't break it, they're just fucked.
That's interesting.
So fixing that was really good. They changed the army creation rules, like you were mentioning. You now have to buy... So before, it was for every 20-man unit, you could take one hero, one monster, or one war machine. Now the that was the only army construction rule. The army construction rules now are, if you want to take a 10-man unit, you must have a 20-man unit.
Yeah.
And a 20-man unit still gets you a hero, a war machine, or a monster.
It's good, just because it's not min-maxing anymore. You can't min-max units.
And a horde...
Yeah, you can get a bunch of shit.
A horde buys you... If you buy a horde unit, you get a hero, war machine, and monster, and 2 or 3 10-mans.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of armies are going to now start... Because nobody took hordes before.
Yeah.
I think now a lot of army lists are going to start with a horde. Like, they're going to be like, I'm going to take a horde. Like, that's going to be my first choice.
It's nice. It's going to be like, you have your one. And it's not even that many figures. It's like, what? Like, 30 figures?
Depending on what faction. Some are 40. But the only thing that matters is the footprint.
Oh, so, 40 figures. It's as opposed to the 80 that you'd had to take for a 100 that you had to take for a horde for fucking...
And the other thing about King's War is you just need the footprint. So if you buy the horde movement tray and... Kind of just put dudes on there, give them a little diorama look. You got it done.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be using the fact that the Age of Shimmar guys are on 32mm bases to take up a bunch of extra space.
Other randoms. Weird is launching another miniatures game somewhat similar to Horde's War Machine.
I thought they already had that, called Malfo.
Takes place on Earth during Malfo. It's good for them.
What? Wasn't Malfo already a War Machine ripoff? Like, I don't know...
It's fucking Malifaux.
Oh, I wonder if he means that, like, how Malifaux is going to be their war machine and this game is going to be their hordes.
Could be.
So maybe it'll be Follomax.
Ooh, Follomax.
That's right.
Bolt Action is running a summer offensive campaign, online campaign. Looks pretty well done.
It's Bolt Action. It's very offensive.
It's, I don't like any campaign where it's like, oh, you're... the allies and you are the Axis. Now you have to log in if it's an Axis or an Allies victory. Well, fuck you. What if I want my Germans to be allies? You know, it's like, I don't want to... This is bullshit. And plus the fact that the German book is still so bullshit that it can't win games.
That's not adhering to the fluff.
It's not. Well, it's true for, like... They can win early war games really well, but... Bolt Action, one major design rule is they need to distance themselves from...
Ignore the history, because it's a historical game?
If you absolutely ignore the history, you can imbalance that fucking game. Infinity launches the USA faction with werewolves.
So now there can finally be an American werewolf in London.
Americans! So Infinity's created the ultimate army, is what they're saying. It's good. Why would anybody play any other army other than the US?
If the Soviets have werebears.
I don't think there's a Soviet army.
That's stupid.
I know. Who wouldn't want furry hat robots?
I want the werebear girls.
Werebear girls. All right.
Big booty bitches with giant boobers and bear heads.
I like this idea, Steve.
Yeah.
James Brandt. Can Joe look into Guild Ball and convince Steve of its alternate activating Warmer Hordes like Max 7 cool sculpted models, barely sports ball themed awesomeness? No, because it's sports ball. I don't care if it's even remotely sports ball. It's sports ball.
I do like alternate activation. I do like small model count. Unfortunately.
Hold on. You can finish your thought.
Unfortunately, I have plenty of miniatures games now, and it's sports ball.
It's guild ball. It's stupid. I got fucking just destroyed by alternating activation in my last game I played, and I got salty. And I kept saying, I'm like, I'm not going to get salty about this. I'm not going to get salty about this. But I got salty.
But it's butt action alternate activation. Yeah. That's not alternate activation. That's random alternate activation.
Yeah.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I got fucking shit on by that one. The guy I was playing against, we literally had seven activating units in the game. He pulled six in a row on the final turn.
And that's bullshit. And that's why I would not support that system.
It's not bullshit. It's fun that way. But I mean, that was fucking, I got salty.
That is definitely the opposite idea for fun.
I apologize to Tom because I know he listens to this podcast, and I'm just like, I'm sorry I got salty, Tom. I tried not to get salty, but I got salty.
Yeah, that's not a good system. My system, when I talk alternating activations, I mean, I move a thing, you move a thing. I move a thing, you move a thing. Always.
I don't like that.
That's the best. That's the most balanced, the most ability to like, that's the most tactical play. You just randomly get shit on because I'm just like, oh, I got more dice than you.
I don't mind that because it's like it's a way of gaming a system, and you could have fun with that. It's like alternate activation is fine, but I like the randomness of it.
Yeah, like yours is more imbalanced, mine is more balanced.
No, it's not imbalanced. There's no imbalance to it because that's all balanced into it.
Someone going four times in a row is imbalanced.
No, because it's all completely random. It's not. There's no imbalance if it's random.
But that makes it bad. Like more randomness is bad.
Yeah, but if it's randomness that affects everyone, it's not. That's what's fine about it.
I think miniatures games already have dice, and that's random enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that there's it's not imbalanced. That's the only thing. I think you're using imbalanced incorrectly.
Yes,
there.
You're right. I was a little overzealous in my use because both players have to do it.
Yeah.
Although if you can take a lot of units that are way cheaper, then you can.
But you can do that in alternating activation as well.
True, which is why I really like how Wrath of Kings did it. Wrath of Kings is if your army is smaller, when I move my last thing, you get one more activation, yeah, and then the round's over.
That's interesting.
Because in Wrath of Kings, you have every model has its own activation, so each individual model. But you have your leaders, and the leaders issue orders, so they can move a group of guys on their activation. So
I knew that.
Taking out leaders is a important part of that game, because if you take out leaders, it fucks up your opponent's ability to activate more models at once, so you can start beating them on the action economy, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So to go back to what James said, no, sports ball's dumb. Sports ball games are dumb. Angel Baker, the Conan Kickstarter you guys were hot on, it was canceled, joined up with Bones. Yeah,
we did that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Done. We're ahead of the game.
Jasper Magnus, how's Wrath of Kings been going? Does Steve still like Dark Age?
I still love Dark Age.
Yeah.
I have my models currently being assembled by someone. So waiting for that to get done. But you know, no rush because
I'm looking for your headdress. I don't see them.
Oh, they're in the closet. Their water effects are drying.
Yes.
Headdress are they're down to water effects now. I just need to put more layers of water effects on their bases. Then the headdress will be complete. So, where the fish with? Get them, Shredder! And there's a crabman, too.
Crabman. Crab people.
So,
crab.
No, he's just one. He's a crabman. He's alone.
John Crabman.
John Crabman, attorney at law. Attorney at claw.
He's got a little suit on.
Yeah, a little tie. He's adjusting his tie. Oh, jeez. I didn't expect to get boiled alive here. Actually, I don't think they boil crabs alive? I think they whack them.
No, you put them live into the pot.
Do you? I thought it was just lobster.
Well, you whack them to crack open the shell when they're cooked.
Well, whatever. Enough about crabs. So once I finish the Wrath of Kings, then I'm on to eBaying a whole bunch of Games Workshop shit. Trying to sell it local first. I'm going to try and sell it to the Kings of War guys.
I forgot to bring those Japanese back for you, by the way.
Well, just remember next time.
I have them. They're in my garage.
So, and obviously, if you find anyone who wants to fucking buy them, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I have books for it, too. I have their army book and the butt action rule book.
The IJA.
So, once I get rid of that stuff, I'm going to try and sell it local, and then I'll work on my big booty bitches.
Big booty bitches.
That's it. And I absolutely love Dark Age. I think the new edition's fantastic. The new Forsaken models are fucking ridiculously cool. Fucking Tyrannosaurus with a chain gun riding around by a saint. Fucking bitching. Really excited about it. Looking to try and get some more people interested in it, but I got to get Wrath of Kings. What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and get people playing Wrath of Kings because Wrath of Kings is cheaper and a little more accessible. Well, it's not really cheaper, but it's more accessible. Like, people, like, get it faster, and then maybe some people get into Dark Age with a starter set. I don't know. We'll see. I gotta...
Prepare for disappointment, Steve.
You might be right, but whatever. The models are fucking sweet, so I don't really care. Yeah.
Actually, the new models for Dark Age do look really nice. Have you had your first game of Arena Rex yet? If you have, how was it? We have not played Arena Rex yet.
Unfortunately, I have so many projects. Arena Rex is not in the quick to do list.
Kevin Bates brought it to the last hobby night, and I really wanted to, but the problem is we both have the same faction with the exact same models, so that's a little bit of an issue right there.
Nice.
You know what? And my stuff wasn't even built yet, so I'm working on building it. I took a slight Warmaster break. Because Steve was talking
more
about
like Warcaster.
Yeah. You know, and that's let's take a break right here and talk about that. So I've been recasting a lot of the older Warmaster stuff because it doesn't exist anymore. I'm not doing it for anything other than my own gaming purposes. I'm just amazed at like the amount of vitriol that people give against recasters. And I could see if a person's recasting something and selling it for exorbitant prices.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. Like, oh, look, I got my little unit of Bretonian Knights. I'm selling for $70. That is ridiculous. But, I mean, it's like, I would think that it would be more open source. Like, people would be excited about that.
Well, you know why? It's because the majority of people play. Like, I texted you.
Yeah, and you. It was, like, one of my favorite texts. I was going to put it on the Facebook page. it was literally, like, well, because most of the people who go on the Warmaster forum boards are from the UK. We're more than three people played the fucking game.
In their country,
yeah. Yeah.
That was it. War Machine forums are full of UK people who actually had more than three people playing Warmaster in their country.
Yeah, it's it bothers me on a lot of levels. And especially, like, you go on eBay and you see the problem. And here's my problem.
The prices are outrageous.
No, but that's the thing that fucking bothers me about when you go on eBay is the prices are outrageous, but then you go to the sold button. And you look, and all the stuff that sells is nowhere near the prices that they're selling it for. Yep. None of those people who put those $50 blisters on there ever get $50 for it. The things that sell are usually, yes, it's more than retail. It's like between, generally, it depends. Like, some of it's actually lower than retail when you bought it.
A lot of it is like people just like, they're wishing they're going to get that much money, but yeah. No one will actually pay it. So what you end up getting is you end up getting a bunch of Warmaster models just sitting on eBay that people aren't buying.
Right. Exactly. And
until people finally get sick of it and they bundle it.
Yeah.
Because that's what when I was first doing my foray in Warmaster back in the day, I got, well, it wasn't really that long ago, but I say back in the day, not correctly. I purchased a big bundle of orcs.
Orcs, yeah.
And I got, like, retail probably, not inflated secondary retail, but retail I probably got $400 or more worth of orcs for $65.
Yeah.
Because you can think it's expensive all you want, but nobody gives a shit because it's Warmaster.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me. I mean, like, yes, certain things are going to be expensive. The Skaven models are going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Araby is going to be expensive.
The really rare stuff.
No one fucking bought that when it came out. It was at the end of the life cycle of the game. The Skaven stuff is gorgeous.
Really nice.
It's some of the most beautiful 10mm models you're ever going to see.
The Kalistra Ratmen are nice, too.
Yeah.
I really like Kalistra. I think they did a really good job. Although, from what I've heard from a lot of the Warmaster fans, is if you're going to do a Kalistra army, don't mix. I heard they look really weird if you mix them.
Interesting.
So, like, they're like, if you're doing Kalistra, do all Kalistra. So, like, just do, like, if you're going to do Skaven, if you want to play, like, if you want to start a Skaven Warmaster army right now, they're just like, do Kalistra and find out, like, replacements for, like, counts as for your War Machines.
Interesting. And, but it's just, it fucking bothers me with any fucking discontinued thing is, like, you look at it, there's very few things that sell at price.
Yeah.
And at those high prices. Very, very few. The Chaos Demon Army sells generally for a lot.
Yeah, the stuff that's normal, like, the stuff that people had, which is Empire, the
High Elves, yeah.
Undead, High Elves, Empire, Chaos, Dwarves.
Even Dark
Orcs
Elves.
And Goblins.
Dark Elves were pretty common.
Yeah.
The
first six are the cheapest.
Yeah.
Like, they're barely above retail, if or at retail, or below.
Yeah. So, like, when I see a dark, like, a high elf fucking blister of bolt throwers put online for $40, I'm like, fuck you, and fuck everything you stand for.
Beat it.
Yeah.
And you gotta be real careful, because there's assholes, and what they do is they put the army starter. I looked at this, because I was like, I saw a thing, and I was like, you know, I might buy that. It's not too expensive. But what they do is they do this. They take an army starter box.
Yeah.
and then they put some blisters on it, and then they put a bunch of stuff in front of it.
Yeah.
And it says, like, High Elf Bundle. And I looked at it, and I was like, that's a decent amount of stuff for that money. And then, like, I read the description. The box featured is empty.
Yeah.
The two blisters were not what they said they were. They were just two War Master blisters. And, like, basically, they were trying to swindle someone into paying $150 for just a starter box.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. But, so I've been recasting a lot of my old War Master stuff just for my own personal use, because it's like, hey, I want a couple units of Demonettes. I have some Demonettes.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. Because I'm not doing this for money, I'm just going to say, like, I recast a shit ton of figures for myself. And if you want me to maybe cast some figures, I'll do it. Just send me some rare stuff. I'll cast it up and, you know, send it out. I got no problem with that. I'm not going to charge for it, so not illegal.
Send Joe Wieners.
I'll recast a wiener. So back to Arena Rex really quick, though. It's like I have, you know, plotted out a couple games to play, and it seems like it's gonna be fun.
Medusa,
yeah,
that model's insane.
Oh, the new one,
the veil.
Oh,
holy
God.
Fuck,
it's fucking ridiculous. I don't know how I would paint that.
You won't.
No, it will not.
You know, you could paint that. I think it's Marique Raymer. I don't know. There's a lady.
Marika?
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's a lady. I don't know if it's her, but she's a super good. She's won multiple Golden Demons. She's won Crystal Brush before, placed, whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're
super
talking
good
about.
Lady painter. That was her specialty, was the translucent cloth.
Yeah.
Like for like people who are wet or whatever. Like that's her. That's her thing. So I think she would do that model extreme justice.
Extreme justice. All right. Hey, we got one from Pat B of Pat's Retro Video Game Reviews in the Play On Podcast. Thoughts on the Arkham Horror board game. He told me the story of behind this, and I find it hysterical that, right, like, a group of four newbies trying to play Arkham Horror. It's just like that is an Arkham Horror in and of itself.
I'm ready to give my thoughts on Arkham Horror.
Well, let me give mine really quick. Arkham Horror is a fun game, but you need to be, it's like Twilight Imperium. You need to have a bunch of people who know what the fuck they're doing. Even if they've never played Twilight Imperium before, you need a bunch of board gamers to play it.
I think Arkham Horror is poo butts.
Yeah.
I think it's really slow. I think it's overcomplicated. And I think it's boring. Also, if you're familiar with the game, you should know what's going to happen after the second turn.
Yeah.
So that's not really, like, that's a lot of setup to just be like, oh, we're going to lose. Like, or like, oh, we're going to win. I think the game foregone concludes a lot. There's not a lot of excitement to it. And Eldritch Horror, which is actually mentioned in the replies.
Yeah.
Eldritch Horror is the game you should be playing.
Yeah.
If you want the Arkham Horror experience and to have actually a good time, I'd play Eldritch Horror. Although some people really like Arkham Horror, so if you want that to be your, I think every person who games.
Yeah.
Period. Every person who games should have one board game in their collection that they go get all the expansions for and that they play.
Yeah.
And I think that board game should be extremely deep, extremely complicated, and just, like, big, heavy board game. And if you want that...
That's how I feel about Monopoly.
If you want that to be Arkham Horror for yourself, then you should do that. But you need to get familiar. You need to know that game inside and out.
You need to know that game inside
and you need all the expansions. Because the expansions are better than... Because I played it with the base game. And from what everyone I talk to, they're like, oh, well, we should use the expansions because they're way better. And I'm like, well, then why don't we play with the expansions?
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? So for me, my board game of choice is Twilight Imperium.
Yeah.
That,
so want to give it a try. That, I so want to play that.
It's really good. You're going to like it.
I will. I know I will. And I just, like, I want to
game. Also, it's not as long as people think it is.
Yeah, well. It's long when you have a bunch of people that you're trying to teach what to do.
Yeah. I think the best way to actually... I got a little teaching exercise for people. And this maybe help you, Bill, because, I mean, you and I are trained on how... Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really trained on how to teach people to play games.
You know, I try, but then people get mad at me when I'm trying to teach them games. Because I'm just like... Because then I don't put out, like, every strategy on how to win. And then people get mad at me. Like, well, how come you didn't tell me that this is the way to win? I'm like... Well, part of the fun of the game is figuring out how to win a game, not being told how to win a game.
Well, so what I did is, like, I have tutorials. And actually, I'm teaching Pat B how to play a card game.
Yeah, he's telling me he's playing Vanguard.
Yeah, I taught him how to play. I taught him the
basics.
Well,
he's like, the card game is fun. I go, like, most card games are pretty fun, like, if you know how to play.
Yeah. So for Twilight Imperium, this specifically goes for Twilight Imperium and might apply to other games.
if I wanted to play a group, I'm familiar with Twilight Imperium a little bit. But let's say that I'm still learning and I want to get there. But say I'm super, super well versed in Twilight Imperium. This is how I would teach Twilight Imperium to my play group. If I was going to play with four people, I would get each one of them and I would invite them over on like a Saturday or something. And we would play a 1v1. There's a specific way to play Twilight Imperium 1v1 because it's not designed for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you play a specific scenario with a flat map setup.
Yeah.
And you play 1v1 and then they can learn the game.
Yeah.
They'll learn the basics. They won't learn the political maneuvering and like some things won't be included, but they'll like get like, oh, okay, I understand this is how this works. They'll understand combat. They'll learn how the initiative system works. And then, you know, they'll have a basic grasp. And you do that for each fucking player by themselves, teaching each one of them the rules. Then you get everyone together and meet up on a Saturday and go like, all right, we're going to play the full rules. And then they all have that basic grasp and you say, okay, this is how we're going to, this is how the actual game works. We actually flip up tiles because then, you know, I know because you can play it in multiple ways. You can play with a scenario where you have a board already set up or you flip up tiles and place them.
I also have that in Settlers of Catan.
That sounds awful. Like, Catan's awful. Why would you bring up Catan when you're talking about...
I'm just saying that they also have...
We're talking about an amazing game, and you bring up Settlers of Catan.
I'm just saying. That's the game that I have all the expansions for. I got Seafarers.
I said a complicated game, not a game where you roll dice and hope you don't get a 7. please don't roll a 7. Oh, a 7! Oh, good game! Oh,
no!
That's new.
The way I do it is I give everyone the link to the YouTube tutorial, and then I yell at them when they never watched it. And as, you know, the funny thing is my friends will watch it, but then their like wives and girlfriends will not watch it, and they'll come here. This game is stupid. Why are we playing this game? This game is stupid.
YouTube tutorials are all right and all, but the problem with the YouTube tutorials, you can't ask it questions.
The other problem with the YouTube tutorial is there's always like, it's always the same thing. It's either like a really old skinny guy. Or it's this big fat guy who's like, yeah, we're going to play some Twilight Imperium today.
This is Rich Headley, and we're going to play the H.P. Lovecraft-inspired Arkham Horror today.
Did you say ham?
I did not.
I said Arkham.
I did not.
All right.
Billiam, please calm down.
Billiam. Let's move on.
Billiam's a great name.
Why hasn't Brazilian...
For boy or girl.
Richard Harrison asks, why hasn't Brazilian fart porn gone mainstream?
And, I thought it had.
The difference is Brazilian fart porn is a subset of Brazilian ladyboy fart porn.
Oh.
So it's actually...
So I was thinking of the ladyboy variant, which is mainstream.
It's huge.
Okay. Understood.
Is ladyboy considered like a offensive? I'm assuming it is.
I don't know. Probably.
I mean, if you just call a ladyboy, yes. But a Brazilian ladyboy, I don't think so. I think that's still okay.
I mean, I might be wrong, but no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I don't
Steve
think so.
Would know.
I don't think so.
Ian Davies asks, War Master or War of the Ring? You love them both, but which one goes in your ass first and why?
Obviously War Master, because it's smaller. Although the spears are much sharper.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the War of the Ring, but only hobbits. I just like the hobbits going on the greatest adventure.
Bull Roarer 2 up in your anus.
Yeah, the greatest adventure.
Oh man, that's really meta right now.
For many reasons. Stuart Johnson, what was the name of the 80s cartoon where the teenage kid got melted into a car in some sort of chemical accident, and whenever he got hot, he turned into a car, but he got cold, he turned back into a kid? Turbo Teen.
that show's so fucking awful.
You don't even have... I saw that immediately, and I wanted to respond, it's Turbo Teen, motherfucker.
Dude, the worst is when his face stretches out and becomes the grill. Ugh, fuck.
Where did it happen to his penis?
Exhaust pipe. Had to be.
Well, that'd be his anus.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
The penis is the stick shift.
Did you ever see Southland Tales?
A long time ago.
You remember the part where the car fucking mounts the car and the dick comes out of the car and fucks it?
Yeah.
That's what happens to his dick.
Oh, okay.
See?
He
fucks other cars.
The only reason I know that is because they used to replay it all the time on like Saturday mornings on the USA Cartoon Express.
Nice.
Used to watch the shit out of that in Dungeon, with what's his face? Dirk
Diggler?
No. You know,
Dirk the Daring? Dragonslayer?
Yeah, Dragonslayer, thank you.
Dragonslayer is the best.
Yeah. Daniel Vise1Cade I want to know what happened to N. Steve's little foray into the Infinity game. Quite some time ago, he was, but just stopped talking about it. Curious as to why. Also, have either of you looked into the recent third edition of the rules?
All right, so I will make this. I have not looked at third edition. I've heard third edition is a massive improvement for that game.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the third edition, and I've actually seen play pick up for Infinity. I've seen a lot more people playing Infinity.
Well, I mean, you got a lot of people getting booted out of their current games, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Infinity is very expensive, so people who are used to paying workshop prices are like, oh, yeah. All right. So what personally ended my foray is two things. One, actually, it's multiple things. The first, the rulebook was incomprehensible garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm usually very good at picking up rules and picking up rule books and reading them, because that's what I do. I just read rule books. I don't read books. Like, people ask me if I read, I tell them I don't, even though I do. I read a lot, but I only read rule books.
Yeah.
I read RPG books.
Source manuals.
I read source manuals. I read adventures, and I read, miniatures rule sets. So I do read a lot. And I actually think it makes you a better gamer, and I think it inspires your imagination just as much as reading a novel.
Yeah.
Me personally, like, when I read a cool, like, Lamentations of the Flame Princess adventure, like, I start, you know, my brain gets, my brain starts dripping with horny moisture.
Well, any sort of reading does help. Even if you're reading, like car manuals, it does help your brain.
And I also really enjoy it because people's writing styles shine through on a lot of those manuals, like reading D&D 5th edition and then reading Lamentations. You can tell that D&D is a, like, looked over the shoulder, carefully edited, monitored, like, this is how you have to say things book. And when you read Lamentations, like, he'll have lines where he's just like, but I wouldn't personally do that because it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing. So the rules are good, but so second edition, I couldn't figure out how to play the fucking game. And there was apparently a fan sourced thing that, like, reorganized the rule book. But that's a PDF. I want to read the fucking book. I want the book in my hand. I want to be able to go flip through and find the page. So that was one. Two, I played a game where a dude stood behind crates and shot missiles at me from behind a crate. I couldn't fucking do anything. He just shot missiles at me, and I had to try and, like, navigate through the terrain to get to him, and all of my troops died before I got there.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this game's real cool.
Well, that's what you get for playing against Missile Guy.
Yeah.
He's got missiles.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently he just shoots missiles without line of sight required and just fucking blows me up. Okay, cool. Sweet game. And then the final nail in the coffin, I was already frustrated because of that. The final nail in the coffin is when my roommate, someone who has played a ton of Infinity, came to our house to play against my roommate in the game. And my roommate, who had not played the game before, just took a bunch of heavy machine guns. And he just bodied the guy who knew how to play. Just fucking bodied him in his first game because of heavy machine guns. And I was like, wow, fuck this game. I'm selling my models. So that's why I got out of Infinity. Supposedly it's much better now. And that might be true. But I will not get back into it because, I have plenty of miniatures games. And, like, I would honestly rather try and get someone to play a game of War of the Ring with just my figures than go out and play Infinity.
Yeah, the thing with Infinity, for me at least, is Infinity is slowly becoming a fairly popular tournament game. It is picking way up from what I've seen. I remember going to never seeing Infinity getting picked up, and now I go to an LGS and I see people, like, one or two games of Infinity being played, and I'm like, wow, that's actually a lot more than I've ever seen. Like, every time I go to a store, I see Infinity being played.
Yeah. Non-GW miniatures games just got a huge upswing in players.
Yeah. But in seeing that, I'm kind of like, okay, but I don't want to get into another game that's kind of tournament-y based. And it's very, very, very terrain-heavy based. If you play it at home, you have to have a shit ton of terrain to play that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm pretty much done with tournament miniatures games outside of Wrath of Kings.
Yeah.
I'll play Wrath of Kings in a tournament.
Wrath of Kings looks interesting. All right.
And of course, I'll play Smaug in the Lord of the Rings tournament.
Killaminis, painting and wargaming. Will Kingdom Death ever make a Bag o' Dicks sculpt to rival the Wet Nurse?
I think Raza Deacon answered it straight up.
The Forge God and Satan?
Yeah, I mean, Satan has a cloak of dicks, a cloak of tongues and a belt of dicks. Straight up, like, there's infinite dicks in that model.
Cloak of tongues, belt of
and
dicks.
And the Forge God has a dick coming out of its back as a tail, and its head is a giant dick. So, I think that's good. Plus, technically, the wet nurse has a dick as well coming out of the back. There's a lot of
dicks
and there's vajayjays.
Yeah.
The it's ladies equal opportunity. The ladies also represented. And they're finally coming out with pinup male figures.
That, I'm glad you're excited about
it's that. It's going to be the best. Fucking big ass bulge and fucking like infinite pack. I called it an infinite pack. You know what I'm talking about. They're just like, I don't think people have that many abs.
Oh, I thought you meant like package, like an infinite package.
No. He'll have
like a, it's where the dicks.
He'll have a swole dick and an infinite pack, like okay. Infinite PAC.
Oh yeah, I get what you said. Like eight pack, but it's infinite.
It's way more.
I was thinking like infinite package, and I was like expecting the dick to make like the figure eight. Like
oh
it's,
nice,
it's the infinite dick. Like so, that's how big it is. It just keeps going infinitely.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, and I really like how the story of the pinup models.
All right,
and like
so
everything. It's good stuff.
Raza, you guys said a couple podcasts back that you had the rules going for going native Warpath. That was the Native American game.
I didn't see the rules, but
I emailed them to you.
I didn't see them.
I'll re-email them to you.
Sweet.
I went through them. It's a cool game. It's a really fun Native American skirmish game with some fantasy elements to it.
It has like Aztec stuff too, right?
Yeah, it's got
The orca monster is badass.
Yeah, it's just all the different Native races. I like it. I think Native American skirmish level games are very underrepresented in, like, because there's a lot of stuff that you could do with them. Like, right now you have Helderado. What's the one with
Wild West Exodus?
Wild West Exodus has a Native American band. But that's it. It's like there'll always be a faction in a game that's Native American. Yeah.
And they're pretty straight up racist with Wild West Exodus.
Well, I mean,
all the non-whites are bad people.
Yeah.
They're all bad guys.
I mean, like, even Warhammer Old West had a Native American faction in the book, but you're still playing against cowboys. It's like, there's a lot of Native American culture and a lot of cool shit you could pull from it.
It's not a pantheon. I don't know what you would call like their.
Yeah,
like,
it's a pantheon. Be like
not their gods. Like they're creatures.
Yeah.
They're mystic creatures. They're fucking sweet. You know? Yeah. They're mythic monsters are badass.
Yeah. I mean, like just the fucking Wendigo, fucking Sasquatches.
Sasquatches.
Who doesn't like a Sasquatch?
I love the figures.
Firebirds, the
and
fucking Thunderbirds.
And if I remember correctly, Going Natives had two successful Kickstarters that both delivered.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like it. I mean, unfortunately, I've never played a game of it, but I do like the basic rule set to it. Yeah.
The thing I like about skirmish games like that, another thing, too, is I'll just throw it out for smaller skirmish games. The best thing about a skirmish game like that is you can paint up two factions real quick, make them look nice, stick them in your cabinet. And if anyone comes over and they're just like, hey, what are these? You can be like, let's play. You just fucking pull them out and have a little game.
His next question was, I remember that you guys said that Legend of the Old West as a skirmish game was Legends of the Old West as the best skirmish game ever made. It's not the best skirmish game ever made, but it's based off the Lord of the Rings rules. It's a pretty good fucking skirmish game.
Yeah, it's one of the
best ones. It's one of the best.
I think that because the rules are simple enough. But it plays well, and models die at a very good rate.
Well, okay, it's exactly what we were talking about with 30K. Games Workshop games, when they take the engine from a Games Workshop game and they put it in a system where everyone has the same stat line, like, you take Warhammer...
Or extremely small variants.
Well, you take Warhammer, the Warhammer Fantasy battle system, you put in an ancient battle system. Hey, guess what? The Roman and the fucking Carthaginian have the same stat line. The game is fucking balanced. You can play it. All of a sudden, this game where you have huge imbalances because of movement or...
Magic.
It's or just like, hey, this orc has toughness 4 and the human has toughness 3. That's a huge fucking difference. How do you balance that point cost-wise and make it fair? Well, guess what? When you're playing ancient battles, they have the same stat line. That's the same thing with Legends of the Old West, is that everyone had the same fucking stat line, and it was the engine from Lord of the Rings. And Lord of the Rings, as we've said numerous times, is a great fucking system.
Yep.
And you put that there. Hey, everyone's got the same stat line. It fucking works, and it's a fun game.
There's a few small variances here and there. Like, you can balance the toughness 4. Like, if they wanted to make, Scotsman toughness 4, you balance that by saying Romans have a 4 plus armor save. Toughness 3, Scotsman have a toughness 4, no armor save.
Yeah, and here's another one for you. You know what the best fucking rule set for 40K is? The fucking World War I rule set that they put out, that they only put out two books for, The Great War, Warhammer Ancient Battles did it, and it's unbelievably good, because you're playing, I think it's around 3rd, 4th edition, it's 4th edition 40K rules, where everyone has the same fucking stat line.
Yeah.
And Everything's balanced. It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, fourth edition was actually, I know a lot of people hated it, and they really hated the Chaos Codex, because the Chaos Codex was really generic, but I thought that the Chaos Codex was fantastic, and I thought that was a great direction for the game. The problem is that goes back to another issue with Workshop, which is nothing is updated simultaneously.
Yeah.
So it's like, these guys are playing by the new rules, you're playing by the old rules, and in that case, the old rules were way better than the new rules.
Well, and that's even the thing, is like, when you're putting it in this, and that's why I know you hate historicals, but that's something that makes historical games really, really fun to play, is because there's so much extra balance in that. He had to add to that, would you play a similar skirmish game that is set in a different point in history, like Pirates, 20s Gangsters, 80s TV shows like A-Team and Knight Rider, modern gang war like Cops, SWAT, or FBI teams?
I would play 80s TV shows. Absolutely play 80s TV shows. Fuck yeah.
7TV, which is a rule set that does a lot of the British TV shows like Avengers.
Danger Mouse?
Probably not Danger Mouse, because that show was bullshit. Count Duckula?
I love Danger Mouse. Count Duckula is also awesome.
This is terrible.
How do you like Count Dracula? He was supposed to be reanimated as an evil vampire, but they spilled fucking ketchup in his... and now he's a vegetarian vampire. I love it.
But yeah, the 7TV rule
Count
set...
Count Dracula on film. Dracula on film.
The 7TV rule sets are pretty good. Also, all the stuff that Osprey's been doing with their Mini War Gaming line, they do a lot of that stuff. Like,
did they finally re-release the James Franco Prussian War after its immediate sellout?
No, I'm talking like the fucking Gangland one, the Fists of Kung Fu, the one that the Kung Fu book that they did, where you could buy the,
I know.
Her Majesty's.
I don't follow Osprey.
They have a rule set. They have a couple rule sets that they put out. They're like individualized books. People can submit it, and they just submit their own rule sets, and they print them. They've had a couple good ones. They've had they work a lot with North Star to put out these like gangs. Like they did like a Her Majesty's Secret, like a steampunk one. It was really cool. But what they are is they're highly, highly customizable, and their point costs are relatively balanced. It's a fun system, and it's a good kind of one off. They also do some historic ones. They have, I know they have a naval boat game. They have one about, like, with knights and shit like that. I think it's called, like, Lionheart or something like that. That one, that game is actually really good. But it's a lot of the historical stuff. But their fantasy ones that they've done have been fantastic. There's been a couple stinkers, too. Ronin was terrible. The World of Flame book was terrible. The Inner War stuff. It's just, like, they have, like, for every two good books, they have, like, one that's kind of, like, shitty. So I would not recommend it. But his final question... What movie, TV show would you like to see become a tabletop model game? You need to pick a skirmish game, a squad game like 40K, and a Beast of War Machine, and a block game like Warhammer.
That was an autocorrect. It should just be, and a War Machine, and a block-style game like Warhammer.
If you could come up with an epic Warmaster game other than Dune or Star Wars, I would like to know what your thoughts are.
Well, you want to go first?
I don't really have anything. I would like a good property... spaceship game is what I'd like. I'd like,
but, like a really well done Star Trek game.
Yeah, I would like Star Trek as done in the style of Star Wars Armada, because I think the Armada's rules kind of work better for Star Trek. I would like something. I don't know, because it's hard, because every good space opera show, the stuff is very imbalanced. Like, you have a shit ton of Cylon ships.
The Borg.
Yeah.
Like, the Borg are ridiculous.
Well, I mean, but, like, so Battlestar Galactica, you have a shit ton of Cylons and one Battlestar.
Right.
It's like, that doesn't work for me. Or you have, like, one faction, the other one. You know,
especially because most of the fights in the show end with the Battlestar, like, kind of shooting at the Cylon stars and then getting away.
Yeah. And the other one is the only one where you could have some fun and some balance to it, and I know you're going to laugh at me, Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
Who needs girls when we have Babylon 5?
We have the Babylon 5 collectible card game.
Babylon 5 is actually one system that could work. I would like... Okay, that's what I'd say. I'd like a new Babylon 5 starship game.
Okay,
cool. That's what I'd like.
All right, so I'm going to go backwards. So, Epic War Master game, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that would be pretty nice.
I would do a Game of Thrones. That would be really cool. Yeah. I think it would be... And it would be really... really cool to balance the factions, because you'd have the faction you've had Khaleesi faction that has dragons and like the weird guys, then you have the undead, and then you have a bunch of different styles of medieval human.
Yeah,
like that would be a very cool game. It would be mostly the same, because, you know, like Stannis would have like an extra cav or whatever, you know. So that's what I would do for my epic War Master game would be Game of Thrones. A block style game like Warhammer, I don't really think there's an IP that I would be interested in playing a Warhammer style game around, because the only one I can really think of is Game of Thrones, and I would rather play that as Warmaster.
I think Game of Thrones would work better. I think I don't know. I like block games a lot. My problem is those block games get too big. I like smaller block games, and I kind of just like generic fantasy for that.
Yeah. So I think I already there's already the block style game that I like the most is already around. It's called War of the Ring.
Yeah.
So like I that's already my choice. Yeah. So squad based game like 40K, 40K/War Machine. G.I. Joe.
Yeah, we talked about that. G.I. Joe would be really fun to
G.I.
do.
G.I. Joe would be the way. And then
wave after wave of goons.
Yeah, you have an asymmetrical side, so like Cobra has a lot of figures and not a lot of heroes, and then the Joes are all heroes. They don't have any generic Joes.
Yeah.
It's just heroes. So it'd be an interesting, I think it'd be a really, that'd be a design challenge, but if you pulled it off, it would be the fucking, you would make infinite fucking dollars.
You know
dollars.
What you do? Here you go, Steve. For every Cobra character that you buy, he has an attached number of goons to that character.
Oh, nice.
So, like, a Cobra Commander comes with, like, 20 goons.
Nice.
So that's the way that – and what you could do, too, is you could have him in, like, five-man squads. Like, okay, so you buy Cobra Commander. He comes with 20 goons that you could put on the table instantaneously in four or five-man squads. After a five-man squad is wiped, you could re-enter the board with that five-man squad.
Sure. That's Cobra Commander's special rule.
Yeah, or something like that. So like,
oh, but if Cobra Commander must be deployed in a vehicle, and if his vehicle is destroyed, you lose immediately.
Cobra retreat. You could have the.
But sir, we're winning. We just killed Duke. Like half the Joes are down. They're injured. All we need to do is press and win. My tank has a paint scratch. Retreat.
Well, that's what you could do too. Is like Cobra Commander is like, or no, Cobra. Okay, how about this? Cobra Commander comes with 10 goons. And they can get upgraded to the Crimson Guard, and they're like elite goons, and so like you could get like, you know, you would buy like a who's a Cobra character, like a Baroness. Baroness would have fewer goons, so she'd come with like a unit of 5 goons.
Maybe one of them has a missile launcher though.
Yeah, something like that, like a Metalhead. Yeah. Woman. Ah, bang, bang, bang. That's the obscure fucking character. Yeah.
For skirmish game, I'm going to do a skirmish boxed game.
Yeah.
So one that can only be expandable as like extra box sets. And I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say RoboCop.
That'd be terrible.
No way. You could do it and it'd be fun.
No, it'd be terrible. Terminator, dude. Genesis.
No. That's because they're trying to make it a miniatures game.
Ugh.
That's because Terminator's trying to make it a miniature game. The RoboCop game would be this. Here's your box that says fucking RoboCop on it. You open it up. You have RoboCop, you have fucking Detroit Police, and then on the other side you have fucking gangbangers and fucking like drug lords.
That would just be dumb.
And then you have the Ed 209.
I you can have fun with that. I would never buy that box game.
I'm saying it's a box game. It'd be fun.
No, you're right. Okay. Oh man, we are so going way over. Okay. My microphone went limp.
Look what you've done.
All right, so really quick, let's blow through these last few ones. Roz's last one. Lastly, Paymaster Games would like to make a model of you two and Pat Bale. Are you guys game?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Where has Immaculate Katana Guy gone? Oh, this is Anthony Pizzera. Where's Immaculate Katana Guy gone, and why doesn't he have a soundboard with his trademark phrases?
I don't know. It's because nobody made the soundboard of Katana Guy.
You guys want to do that? You can fucking.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't force our characters. Like, if
Katana Guy comes up when he's relevant.
When he's relevant, yeah.
He's a watchful protector.
He's
a dork knight.
I am the watchful protector.
I am a watchful protector. I am not the hero that this podcast deserves. I am the hero the podcast needs. As he's jacking off on a jizz statue in his basement.
Girls on film.
To girls on film.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
Okay.
Miyamoto Musashi!
Brett Miles,
what he says when he climaxes.
If you guys were going to enter a rule in the Age of Shitmark contest from a couple of episodes ago, what would your entries be?
Mine would be points costs. That would be mine.
Mine would be the rule that if you play Age of Shitmar, you automatically lose. You have to just put your models in the garbage can and walk out the store to the sad Incredible Hulk walking away music.
Nice.
Brett Miles also asked, if you were to choose one model to be your jizz statue, do whatever you want with it, I won't judge, what would it be? I'm assuming that they mean like a miniature.
Yeah, a model.
Yeah.
A miniature.
Yeah.
I don't have one, I don't think. Maybe, you know what? I'm gonna say out there, there's that those two Kingdom Death models that came out a little while ago. They were the Immortals, the super buff lady and the super buff dude. I'm gonna go with the super buff lady.
Now, you know what I'm gonna go with?
Because she scares me sexually.
I'm gonna go with the models of me, you, and Pat that Paymaster Games are gonna do.
Gross.
I've always wanted to masturbate on myself.
You're gonna fucking use the UV light. You know, no, he'll be like, I wonder if Joe did this, and I'd use the UV light and scan it. Be like, well, I'm clean. Pat's clean, and yours like lights up like the fucking sun. I'm like, my eyes melt.
It's like the fucking they open up the fucking Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. All right. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page.
That's right. I'm nowhere
else. Game Classy Podcast. Good way of getting in contact with us. You could also, the best thing you could do to help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on not only iTunes, but on YouTube. We got a bunch of new iTunes comments, and if we weren't running low on time, I'd read them. Some of them are pretty good.
Sick. We'll have to do it next time.
Yeah, we'll have to remember to do it next time. Once again, as Steve said, the more people that put it up in a given amount of time, the better it is for our podcast.
Yeah, it's all about the
likes and the comments,
and in a rapid succession.
Rapid succession.
Because iTunes is that's how iTunes puts us on the hotness. Although we've never been there.
We're always like number 200 on the hot list.
We'll never be there.
You were always getting beat by the Michigan Poker Hour. Always.
Sons of bitches.
It's once again, we are on YouTube, and you can listen to us on YouTube. I'm actually surprised that we didn't get our...
I'm Snapchatting this right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why are you Snapchatting this?
Because I'm live Snapchatting our podcast.
What?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on this. That's bullshit.
It's okay, it'll only be there for 8 seconds and then it's gone.
Take me off of this internet. Yeah, you can also listen to us on the YouTube pages. You could also listen to Play On Podcast, which now has Steve as a regular co-host on it.
Yay!
And hopefully he fixed the sound issue, because that first episode sounded terrible.
Yeah, we're working on it, getting the tweaking thing. He's got his, like, soundboard and stuff.
It's like, I'm just like, I bring this thing.
That's what I told him. I was like, hey, you know, Joe just, like, slaps this thing in the middle of the table and we just start talking.
Yeah. And you know why?
I think it's the mics.
It's also, yeah.
Also, his, he had the tablet thing.
Yeah.
And it took forever to figure out, but apparently the tablet's mic was picking us up. So it was creating this effect that sounded really wrong and could not figure out what was happening.
Yeah, and as I say, it's so funny because it's like he comes in with like fucking sound, like a fucking sound room worth of equipment.
It's
and
very professional looking.
I know, and I come in with a little carrying case and just poof, poof, let's record.
You're like the drunk uncle version. He's professional. He's in a suit, and you come in, you're in a stained white shirt and fucking flip flops.
But as I always say, our podcast sounds infinitely better than 900% of all the other podcasts.
It's true.
In the game section.
It's true.
Because they're all like, we're recording in a basement and we got 18 people here and we're all going to chime in about Fallout 4.
Like Deathclaws.
And we're all drunk.
Do you think you could sleep with any ghouls in this one?
So, yeah, you could listen to Play On, and you could also listen to on the Planet Arbitrary podcast feed.
And my necrophilia.
Play On and Comic Book Logic, where we're rounding out the Marvel Universe. We're going to be going into some other comic book movies soon. Probably the 1989 Batman. Maybe some Blade. Maybe, I don't know, The Rocketeer.
You'll be excited to know that there's apparently some sort of Power Rangers prequel coming out as a film.
I hate Power Rangers. Finally, you can... go and subscribe to our Reddit, Our Game Classy. All right. So, Steve, until next time,
keep on wizarding.
What?
Game Classy.